Today, the title of the sermon is lip service. You've heard of the term lip service. You probably have your own definition of what that means. I'll throw out a few here. Lip service is service by words only. Lip service is when someone says they're going to do something when they aren't going to do anything to support it. Or lip service is a verbal expression of agreement or allegiance, but unsupported by real conviction or action. And the last one is very simple. Lip service is hypocritical respect. Hypocritical respect. Well, it's that word hypocrite that I want to focus on to start with. The next words that we have recorded in the Gospel of Mark that we've been teaching through for several months now, the next words recorded in Mark's Gospel point to the religious leaders of Jesus' day being hypocrites. And Jesus scolded them for keeping law and tradition in order to look holy instead of to honor God and actually be holy. Can I tell you, and most of you know this, hypocrites bothered Jesus big time. Hypocrites bother believers in the church. And hypocrites bother those outside the church too. There's a number of people that have even told me, and I'm sure you've heard it as well, I don't go to church because there are hypocrites there. I know. I've been one. I hope I and pray to God that I'm not one today. In fact, I would give the church permission. Anytime you see that my words don't match my actions according to the Bible, call me out on it, would you? And how about if I do the same? But now, Pam, you didn't need to be the one to laugh. I didn't mention your name. Well, here's the thing. God will not accept the excuse that there's hypocrites in the church for not accepting his son Jesus. So we have to deal with the issue. And hopefully with today's teaching, it'll help. Well, so let's go to today's teaching. It's Mark. We're starting chapter 7 now, and we're going to go through the first 23 verses. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, did not eat until they had poured water over their cupped hands, as required by ancient traditions. Similarly, they didn't eat anything from the market until they immersed their hands in water. This is but one of the many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Verse 5. So the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony." And Jesus replied, pretty simple, pretty straightforward, "You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips,'" lip service, "'but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition.'" Then he said, "You skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, Moses gave you a law from God. He said, 'Honor your mother and father.' And he said, 'Anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death.' But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you. For I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example among many others. Well, then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. All of you listen, he said, and try to understand. This is the key, verse 15. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart. And then Jesus went to the house to get away from the crowd. And his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. Don't you guys understand either? Can't you see that the food you put in your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but it passes through the stomach. It gets kind of graphic here. It passes through your stomach and then goes into the sewer. And by saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. And then he added, it's what comes from inside you that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come, and now he lists several things. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things, all these vile things, come from within. They are what defile you. You know, hypocrites are not something new to our time or our culture. As Jesus mentioned in this thing that was recorded by Mark, even he quoted the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, calling out people for having lip service rather than having genuinely active service to God. Hypocrites are people who say one thing but do something else. I probably don't need to give you a definition of what hypocrites are. We pretty much know. But their actions don't match their words. We've all heard the saying, actions speak louder than words, right? Well, here's another way of saying it. What you do speaks so loud, I can't hear a word you say. What you do speaks so loud, I can't hear a word you say. People are not always listening to what we say as Christians. They're watching what we do. So, here's a lesson for today. Let's don't be hypocrites. Let's don't be hypocrites. If we are a Christ follower, then let's act like it, let's talk like it, and let's walk like it. Now, another word I want to focus on from today's scripture is the word ritual. Before each meal, the devout Jews performed a short ceremony washing their hands in a certain way. Well, the disciples were called out from the Pharisees as for not washing their hands in this certain way. Well, they didn't have dirty hands. They simply weren't carrying out the washing ritual or tradition of the Pharisees. The Pharisees thought that this washing ceremony cleansed them from any contact with unclean things. Jesus said they were wrong, thinking that they were acceptable to God because they were clean on the outside. And sometimes that's what we think too. We think if we're clean on the outside, that makes us clean on the inside. Jesus flips it completely around. He wants us to be clean on the inside, and that will make us clean on the outside. Well, sometimes Christians can become like Pharisees when we worry that contact with unbelievers makes us unclean. One way we do that is by avoiding worldly places. Can I remind all of us that Jesus spent more time with people outside the temple rather than inside the temple? Wouldn't you have thought that what he might have done is set up shop in a temple somewhere and just said, y'all come to me. I'll be here 8 to 5. I'll have some teaching. I'll give some handouts. There'll be a time for healing. I'll just stay right here. You all come to me. And yet it seems like when you read the Gospels, that's not what happened at all. He wasn't in the temple in very many stories. He was out where the people were. And so that's something for us to consider. He didn't wait for people to come to church. He went to them wherever they were. And Jesus does not intend for us to withdraw and purify ourselves and never reach out. Back to rituals and traditions. The Pharisees had added hundreds of their own rules and regulations to God's holy laws. You remember how many laws there were, the basic laws? 10 commandments, 10 laws, 10 rules. And by the time we get to Jesus' day, I believe I've heard that somewhere around 600 and some laws is now what the Jewish people had. And they still weren't being right in the eyes of God. And then they tried to force people to follow these rules that they came up with. Well, there are still religious leaders today who add rules and regulations to God's word. Maybe you've been to that church before. Maybe you've been around that leader before. And it causes a lot of confusion among believers. Well, let me say this. It's dangerous for anyone, a church, a pastor, a person, a Christian, to set up unbiblical standards for people to follow. What we have to do is look to Christ for guidance about our behavior. And then let him lead others in the details of their lives. He'll speak to them with or without our rules. Jesus wasn't against all tradition, but was against those who made their traditions as important, if not more important, than God's word. That's how we can tell the difference between a good tradition and a bad tradition. How does it line up according to God's word? You see, good traditions shine a spotlight on God's word. One quick example. We're meeting here together based on tradition, but it's based on God's word. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forsake, don't not meet. In fact, do it regularly. And we have to do it regularly, and we do it on Sundays, and we call this our church service, our worship service, and it can kind of feel like a tradition at times. But again, based on God's word, that's a good tradition. Good traditions move us to obedient service. Good traditions bring us joy. Good traditions explain God's teachings. And good traditions reinforce God's teachings. So we should change our traditions if they ever become more important than God's word. If somebody says you have to live this way or that way, say, hold on just a second. Check in here and see if it lines up. If it does, okay. If it doesn't, I think we know what to do. Well, Jesus gave it to the Pharisees, I can tell you, when they used God as an excuse not to help their families. They thought it was more important to put money in the temple treasury than to help their needy parents. Yet God's word specifically says to honor mothers and fathers, and to care for those in need. We should give our money and time to God as you feel led and as the word of God says. But we must never use God as an excuse to neglect our responsibilities. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. We should be helping those in need, and that's one of the most important ways we can honor God. Especially parents. And again, that's where our actions must match our words. Another way the Pharisees thought they could be clean was to eat a certain diet. And they incorrectly interpreted the dietary laws that Moses had given from God. And those laws are recorded in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. We could read those, and yet in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 10, all that was dealt with, and the bottom line is what Jesus said, all things are okay to eat. But here's the bottom line, being concerned about what we put in our bodies is good and healthy, but many people are not as concerned about what they put in their minds. They're making sure they eat the right foods, but not so careful as to what they read, what they watch on TV, movies they go to, or even internet sites that they visit. You remember that little children's song, kind of a vacation Bible song? Maybe you've heard it before. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Well, be careful, big eyes, what you see as well. Jesus was more concerned about our thought process than about our food laws. Do we avoid putting junk food in our body, but we don't have the same care for the junk food we put in our mind? That's something to think about. Well, an evil action begins with a single thought. Allowing our mind to dwell on lust, envy, hatred, revenge, that leads to sin. So let's not defile ourselves by focusing on things that are evil. In fact, let's focus on those things that the Apostle Paul tells us to focus on. Here's his advice. Think about what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, or admirable. Think on those things. So if you ever find your mind dwelling on evil, sometimes it's hard to say, don't think about the evil. It's like, I've used this example before. If I told you, don't think about a pink elephant, what did you immediately do? Your mind pictures a pink elephant. Okay, so the Bible's pretty wise here, what Paul says. Don't just say, oh, I don't want to lie. I don't want to read this. I don't want to watch that. I don't want to be mean or impatient. Instead, tell your mind what you do want to focus on. Things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Now, make no mistake, God did create laws, rules, rituals. But it was and still is all about creating a relationship. Above all, God wants a relationship with you and me. That's it. God gave us the Ten Commandments. And Jesus, when he came, he didn't say, well, forget those. He actually reiterated them and clarified them for us. These laws are established to help us have the right relationship between us and God, or between us and each other. That's the good of the law. That's the good of the rule and the relation to lead to the relationship. Now I'm going to conclude with something I found on Facebook. It's neat how sometimes God will put something right in front of me. Sometimes it's something funny, a meme on Facebook or a story that somebody tells me during that week. But as I was preparing for this message from these next verses in Mark, I think he's a little younger than me. So he's probably in his 50s or 60s. Philip Collier. Does anybody know that name? Philip Collier. In fact, Jeannie and Gerald Collier are his parents. They were pastors at the Kindred Friends for a number of years. In fact, Jeannie and Gerald Collier married Jan and I. Well, I'm Facebook friends with Phil, one of their kids, and Phil is very bright, brilliant. He has a way with words and a way with thinking beyond what I can do. I'm going to read something, and he starts off referencing something, a discussion that his son was in. His son's named Caleb. It's a little bit long. Bear with me. This is what we're going to finish up with today. I think Phil puts it so well. As often happens, Caleb was online discussing nuances of the Christian faith, and somebody quoted that saying again, Christianity is not a religion. It began, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. But it has been shortened. I have traced that quote, Phil says, I've traced that quote back as far as Lee Strobel, an excellent evangelical apologist. What he meant was that there is more to Christianity than rules and rituals, which generally characterize religions. And he is correct, but I believe that that statement has increasingly been taken out of context and exploited by the left. Now, it is being used to mean, quote, "As long as you say you know and love Jesus, you can live most any way you find suitable," end quote. The truth is, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, and Phil says that's relationship, then you will live in a certain way, and that's religion, a certain religious way. You will obey the Ten Commandments and live a holy life and a sexually pure life as defined by Scripture. Your definition of love will be defined by Scripture, not by culture. There is a religious aspect of our faith. Not our entire faith, but an aspect of it, one of them. Legalism. That's legalism, not a relationship, I hear someone shouting. Please think again. Legalism means that you are seeking salvation by obeying the moral rules or laws in the Bible rather than by grace through faith in Christ. But if you truly love Christ, you will live a life that is pleasing to Him. And that life is described in part by religious behavior. We seek forgiveness of sins, forgive others, love God and neighbor as ourselves. This is the religion Jesus Himself taught us to live. We manifest the fruit of the Spirit. The left insists that if you don't live in a... Let me say it again. The left insists that you don't have to live any certain way to be a Christian. Otherwise, you will not be able to call yourself a Christian while living according to their political, theological, moral standards that contradict a conservative evangelical interpretation of the Bible. So if you're going to say Christianity is a relationship, not a religion, please take time to finish with the truth and say that true relationship with Jesus does result in scriptural religious living. So we'll go ahead and close with our song. Here's the bottom line, just one sentence. Jesus doesn't want our lip service. Jesus wants our life service. Jesus doesn't want our lip service. He wants our life service. Keep living for Him. Folks, what are we going to sing then?
We're going to sing chorus book number 89, Praise God.